Everybody wants to win, but nobody wants to wait. That's the intriguing title of a new book. The author is Marcus Gill. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Marcus about his book and about the concepts behind this. And Marcus, it's so great to have you on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jerry. I'm so glad to be with you.
Sure. In a nutshell, what is this book all about? Learning to trust in God?
Yeah, well, that's actually a perfect one-liner for this book, learning how to trust in God. And, you know, to be even more specific with my mission, learning how to trust in God more than we trust ourselves. We live in such a microwave society, whereas, you know, we like to put our dreams and visions in the microwave, hit 30 seconds and expect it to be hot and done. And that can work sometimes, but do you want temporary satisfaction or temporary success, or do you want long-term success? And so my grandfather would always say, Marcus, don't live and build your dreams based on a microwave mentality, but have an oven mentality. Understand that things take time to cook and take time to develop, but at least when you pull it out of the oven and it's done, it's exactly how it needs to be and sometimes much better. Yeah. I want our fellow believers and, of course, my generation to get an understanding that waiting on God isn't always easy, but it's always worth it. And in this book, everybody wants to win, but nobody wants to wait. I pull out a bunch of principles, and I give a great teaching to help those that read the book understand that, hey, you don't have to wait until your prayers are actually answered in the way you want them answered to know that you're winning. You're actually winning while you're waiting for your prayer to be answered, because there's so many great things that God does for us in the waiting season. And that's the mission of the book, to help people enjoy the wait and not be so down about it.
Huh, great. WaitToWin.com, that's the website for this. Tell us a little bit about your own particular background, Marcus, and how the Lord has worked in your life. And I understand you're an evangelist, and now you're settling in Queens, New York.
Yes, sir. Well, living in New York, I was born in New York, raised in North Carolina and in Kitzingen, Germany. I'm what they call an army brat, so I've had my share of traveling around the world with my father for a little while. And when I was born in 1986 in New York, my mother was just 15 years old. And at the hospital, it's always told to me that my grandfather, who was a pastor, was the first to hold me. And at that moment, he grabbed me and blessed my life at that moment and declared that God would use me to serve him and to be a blessing to millions around the world. And you know what? At age 30 now, I can truly say that that prophecy has come to pass, and it's been working well for us over the years. You know, I've had my ups and downs, been through divorce. I even lost my first child, Zelia Crystal Gill. She was just 3 weeks old. She passed away. Lost jobs, man, been, you know, kicked out of ministries for no reason. I mean, I've just gone through a lot of things while trying to accomplish my goals. And so this book, I could actually say it's somewhat of a biography of mine, because I teach all of the lessons that I've learned while on this journey, being a church minister of music, being a youth pastor, and then even pastoring my own church, being married at a time and then going through divorce, being a parent and having to bury my child while still having my big dreams ahead of me. I realized that one of the greatest mistakes that I made over the years is rushing, like I said before, looking for a microwave vision to become a reality. And I found out, man, it takes time. It takes God teaching us. Sometimes we got to go through pain and we've got to go through storms. But you know what? Trouble and pain and storms don't last forever. When we come out, we're stronger, we're wiser, and we are more prepared for the very things that we're dreaming of. And so that's just a little bit about my life in a nutshell. I'm glad to have more than 1.6 million followers on Facebook.
Wow.
And the books that we've written, and being able to have crusades literally all around the U.S., the Caribbean islands, Turkey, Nigeria. And, man, we're just looking forward to reaching more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ to help somebody remain encouraged about this thing called life.
Wow. The opening sentence is, waiting is so hard, exclamation point. And that kind of sets the tone for the whole book. But you also make a point, delayed does not mean denied. Do you want to comment on that? Does not mean denied.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, there's many of us that have a prayer request, and if you kind of imagine a person, they're standing at point A, and point A is the moment when they get on their knees and they pray and they ask God for something. And then point Z is the place that we're trying to get to where the prayer is actually answered. And for the most part, all of us are standing in between B and Y. we're waiting for that prayer to be answered. And
right.
oftentimes we think that because God doesn't answer our prayers at the time that we want him to or at the moment that we desire him to, we think that God is saying no, or God has just denied the blessing. And one thing my grandfather taught me, he said, Marcus, God answers us in three ways. He either says yes to your prayer request, no to your prayer request, or he says wait. And it seems like 99% of the time we're in the waiting stage. We're waiting for God to give us an answer. We would all love for God to say yes, because, hey, we know it. It's all good. And then when a lot of folks are upset if God says no, I get excited when God says no, because at least I know it's not for me. At least he already said no, move on, do something else. But the hard one, man, is when God says wait. When God says wait, I'm not going to give you an answer yet. I'm not going to answer it the way you want me to answer it yet. I'm not going to give it to you just yet. You need to wait. And I've learned that in the waiting season, it feels like we've been denied. It feels like God has said no, but it's actually just delayed. And delayal, in terms of delayed but not denied, is to encourage the believer to say, you know what, the blessing isn't here now, but just because it's not here now doesn't mean it's denied. I'm waiting for it. It's coming soon. There's just a delay. It's almost like when we order a package off of Amazon or something like that, and it says it's supposed to arrive Thursday by noon. But noontime on Thursday shows up and there's no package. 5 o'clock comes around and there's no package. And then you get that text message or email from Amazon that says, we apologize for the delay. Your package should arrive between Friday and this time next Wednesday. And now you get frustrated even more because you don't know when it's coming. But then in between that time, by surprise, you get a knock on your door and there's FedEx or UPS delivering your package. Your package wasn't denied. It was just delayed. And I realized that in the delay season, God does development. He's developing us, because there's some things that we want right now, and God wants to give it to us, but he loves us so much that he won't give us our prayer request if we're not ready to handle it. But so he'll take time to develop us. He'll teach us. He'll cause us to grow so that when we get the blessing, we won't lose it before we can even enjoy it. So start rejoicing over your delayed blessings. I say that to your listeners that feel like they're in that delay season. Rejoice and just thank God that he's preparing you so that when the blessing is released, you'll be ready to enjoy it.
All right, our guest right now is evangelist Marcus Gill. He's the author of a book called Everybody Wants to Win, But Nobody Wants to Wait. The website is waittowin.com. You mentioned earlier Turkey, that you've done some ministry in Turkey. Can you tell us a little bit about that without revealing too much? Because I know that can be a dangerous place. Did you preach the gospel of Jesus in Turkey?
Well, we did something extremely unique. As you mentioned, Turkey can be a very dangerous place to preach the gospel, especially considering the fact that it's a 98% Muslim country.
Yeah.
And so it was difficult to plan an actual crusade and get a venue and invite people to come. But what we ended up doing was our team, we went to Turkey, and it was a part of one of our world tours. We did the British Virgin Islands. And then we hit Lagos, Nigeria, and then we hit Istanbul, Turkey, and we simply walked the streets and gathered people and witnessed and preached the gospel to them and prayed with them. We did some video tapings there. We did a couple of prayer circles there. We had what we call like a blessing by, where people just walk by and we say, hey, do you want a blessing from God? And they stop by and they're like, well, I'm Muslim. And I said, well, we're Christians. And the thing about it, most of the folks that we encountered while we were doing that, passing out tracts and sharing the gospel openly and doing the videos and, you know, praying with people, they were so friendly to us. We thought that people would fight us and be angry, but they were some of the most friendliest people in the world. They kept saying, hey, you know, I'm a Muslim, you're a Christian, but we're all family, you know. And we just embraced them. We prayed with them. You know, we read the word of God to them. And, you know, it was an opportunity for us to share our faith with those there. And, in fact, you wouldn't believe this, Jerry, but there are so many people that we were able to be in touch with in Istanbul that still write me today. They still write our ministry and say, hey, can you pray for us? Can you send me a video? Can you send me some scriptures? And they're asking, when are you guys going to come back? Because we'd love to host you and have you for a Bible study so that we can get this message of Jesus Christ to more people in this nation. So that was a big blessing.
Wow.
It wasn't like a traditional crusade, but we said, you know, we're going to take advantage of this opportunity, and we're going to witness and share the gospel with as many people as we can in our own unique but yet safe way. And it worked.
Marcus, what's your email address if somebody wants to write you an email address?
They want to Yeah, sure. If they want to write me, they can email me at mgill@marcusgillinternational.org. I'd be glad to take your email, your prayer request, and, of course, be able to hear your testimony. And even if you have any questions about the ministry, feel free to send me an email. I'd be glad to communicate with you.
And your overall goal with the ministry is what? To proclaim Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead?
Absolutely. You know, Christ was born. Christ walked the earth. Christ worked miracles. He was persecuted. He was beaten. He was killed. He was buried. He rose again. He walked the earth just a little bit more for 40 days. And you know what? He's ascended in heaven, and He's seated by the right hand of the Father. And I believe He's serving as our advocate. And I want as many people in the world to know that you have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
You don't have to go through life alone. Jesus Christ is there for you.
Now, I've got part of your book here, page 62. This is part of it. I'm just going to read a little bit and then let you wax eloquent. I've had many moments, okay. I'm quoting you now from your book, Everybody Wants to Win, But Nobody Wants to Wait. I've had many moments mm-hmm. in my life when I was in dismay over the way my life was rolling along. I just wasn't happy. And then you go on through some details about that, fleshing that out. There were three things I mm-hmm. began to do, and as I did, I noticed that the peace of God took over my heart and mind, and I became free from disturbance. Three things that you recommend that somebody does when troubles start to overtake us. They are praise mm-hmm. God in advance, be grateful, and plan for the future. Why don't you comment on those?
Yeah, sure. Well, let me begin with the first one, praising God in advance. You know, because most times we are waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and waiting can turn into worrying, whining, complaining, you know. And one thing that I realized is that when we praise God, it eliminates complaining.
Can you talk more directly into your phone, please?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Praising God.
Yes.
Is that better?
Yes, that's definitely better.
Okay, all right, awesome. Praising God eliminates complaining. Praising God invites His presence into your atmosphere, which then brings joy. So even, you know, most people, they wait for a reason to give God praise. I got an unexpected check in the mail, or I got a new job, or I'm married, or somebody was nice to me today. You know, we wait for a reason to give God praise. But what do you do in the waiting season? Eliminate the worry, eliminate the complaining, eliminate the whining, and begin to praise God in advance. Praise God for what you're waiting for as if you already have it, and you'll feel better in that season of waiting. And then, of course, be grateful. Sometimes we get so caught up, you know, in the things of the future and waiting on what we want without taking a moment to look around and say, you know what, I know I'm believing God for something right now and I'm waiting for a miracle, waiting for a blessing, but I got so many blessings already. You know, you can look around and maybe you're believing God for a new home and you're waiting to get approved for that new house, but you're not paying attention to the fact that you already have a house. Or maybe you're sick of your job and you're upset going to work every day, and you're praying that God would give you an opportunity for a new job, but maybe take a moment, be grateful. Hey, you know, at least I have a job right now. And, you know, sometimes people, we forget about what we already have, and we forget about the past blessings because we're so focused on the future. It's almost like somebody walking up a staircase. We look at the top of the staircase because that's where we want to go, but instead, you know, we don't pay attention to each step. What happens when somebody doesn't pay attention to the steps?
Yeah.
While you're trying to go
and
up,
stumble.
You keep tumbling down.
Yeah.
So pay attention to each step. Be grateful for where you are now and enjoy the journey. And then, of course, so I give you praise God in advance, and then, of course, I give you be grateful. But then I want people to plan for the future. While you're praising Him in advance and while you're being grateful for where you are, don't sit around and wait for the future to come. Start planning for it. The greatest sign of faith to me is based on how we plan.
Hmm.
Because if we're planning for something that hasn't happened yet, it's a sign that we really believe that it's going to happen. So we're planning for it. We're planning for it. We're saying, you know what? My faith without works is dead. So I got to work my faith by planning in advance for the things to come.
Hmm.
A man without a plan doesn't have anywhere to go. I mean, where are you going to go? You have no plan. You have no map. You have no journey. You got to plan for the future.
You know,
so while you're waiting for the blessing, plan for it.
Exactly. We're basically out of time. Again, I want to give people the name of the book. It's How to Win. Everybody Wants to Win, But Nobody Wants to Wait. WaitToWin.com for more information. Again, the author is Marcus Gill. And just one last thought. As you were saying all these things, I realize that God's timing is different than ours, but maybe part of the reason why is because He wants us to exercise, just like a weight builder can't win, you know, can't you know, develop any muscles unless he actually starts to put it to use. And it's something that happens over time. It's not something that's instant. Marcus, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you and all the best to you.
Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you now. Bye-bye.